Welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week I've been chatting to Caroline Hitt, head of BBC Radio Wales, and broadcaster and journalist Lucy Owen, the new host of their Saturday lunchtime show. BBC Wales has recently announced some schedule changes, such as Lucy taking over on Saturdays, new specialist music programmes, and a prominent comedy slot for Welsh comedian Kiri Pritchard-McLean. So I asked Caroline how she went about working on the schedule change and what factors she had to consider to make sure the station still maintained a balance.
I think one of the things you've got to guard against, Georgie, and this is me speaking from a personal perspective because I've been in the role now coming up to 18 months, is to guard against kind of new editor syndrome, where you think you have to make changes almost for the sake of it, you know, to put your stamp on as a new person. When I first arrived, I made some changes to the weekday schedule, a new breakfast show. We looked at the order of some of the programming and very much a case of putting the best people in the best places. You know, I knew I had great presenters, but were they making the right impact in the right places? So I had a look at that for the weekday and then turned attention to the weekends. And again, you know, as you know, in our business, though you do rely on a certain amount of gut instinct, you have to look at the data. You have to look where the audiences are, what they're doing, what they're wanting, the shape of those radar graphs over the weekend. And one of the things I was really kind of taken by was, you know, we've got Owen Money, who is one of our longest serving presenters, our most popular presenter in terms of the radio figures. And on the weekend, he was a real kind of anchor for the schedule. You know, he got that audience in. Then it was a question of, could we hang on to that peak rather than it kind of, you know, falling off a cliff. So I was looking really carefully what was needed at those kind of junction points. So that was part of the thinking. Equally, tying into the other schedule changes as part of the refresh, I wanted to kind of strengthen our comedy offer. We have a regular slot for comedy on a Thursday, and a really talented comedian and presenter, Kiri Pritchard-McLean. I wanted her to have a platform that she could really own, curate, for it to work digitally as well, because we knew that she had a reach beyond Wales. You know, she'd make an impact when she was on Radio 4. And so to create something for her as part of the schedule change and the kind of, you know, the puzzle that comes when you move one piece out and you move another one in. So that was part of the thinking as well. And Kiri's Comedy Club, I'm really excited about. But then going back to the weekends, I'd worked with Lucy before in my independent incarnation. I knew she was a great presenter. And more than anything, Lucy is probably the most well-known female face of BBC Wales as a whole. And I think increasingly, you know, we see the importance of the bigger brand. We're all being asked to work across platform. Everything we make, where can it have another life? And I knew that Lucy would bring an audience with her. I knew, having worked with her in previous radio incarnation, that she was a great presenter in that medium. And I knew she had a fantastic connection with the Welsh public. So she seemed the perfect person to kind of to bridge that transition from Owen into the lunchtime on the weekend. And for her audience to see a different Lucy. You know, we know the Lucy of Wales Today, which is, you know, a really, really strongly performing nightly news programme. But here she gets the freedom to have a bit more fun, really, and you know, show the other skill set that she has. So it's the other strings to her bow. So, yeah, I was really excited about that.
Yeah, Lucy, I was going to say, yeah, people know you from Wales Today. They know you very much as a journalist, news, but this is a lunchtime show. It's a big show on the station. You've taken over.
Yeah, yeah, I've only been doing it a couple of months.
How do you go about putting your stamp on a show like Lunchtimes at the Weekend?
Well, I can't say that I wasn't daunted by the opportunity, even though I was so delighted and felt, you know, so chuffed that Caroline was giving me a chance to have a go. And I dipped my toe into radio before, but having what was, you know, my own show was very different. I'd always had co-presenters and they'd been right from the top of the programme. So this did feel like a very different challenge. Luckily, one of my first guests that I had, well, on my first show, was Greg James, radio legend. And I basically said, right, Greg, give me your tips. And he just said, you know, love radio. You know, it's such a wonderful medium. And I think he's absolutely bang on, because there's something so intimate about it as a format. And he said, be yourself. And while I think we all have different aspects to our personality, don't we? And there is a side of me that, you know, is passionate about journalism and you know, holding politicians to account. But there's also a side of me that really loves, you know, to have a little bit of fun as well and to, you know, have a chat about showbiz. And so it was wonderful to have that opportunity to be able to explore that kind of area on air and be that side of me. So, you know, I chatted to Carolyn beforehand and I chatted to my producer, Paul Channon, and immediately I hit it off with Paul. And I think that has been an absolute joy. And I'm so grateful that we have such a great relationship. You know, immediately I knew that we'd be on the same kind of wavelength, pardon the pun, when it came to the show. Both got excited about the same kinds of guests. And we talked a lot about maybe a sort of quiz or a regular feature that we could do to try and promote audience engagement.
That producer-presenter relationship is so important, isn't it? If you get on well with your producer and you're on the same page, then it makes it a joy.
Absolutely. I think especially in those early programs, when I was kind of quite nervous about it and really still felt like I was finding my feet, to have somebody who is not only brilliant on the production side of things, as in the, you know, the nitty-gritty of helping me sort of, you know, get the timings right, coming up to the hour, because even though I'm used to that on telly, somehow it was really different on radio. And not actually getting a physical 10, 9, 8 in your ear and having to sort of, you know, keep one on the script, one eye, you know, on the clock. I was finding that really difficult and still sometimes do find it quite challenging. But to have somebody who's so brilliant and confident on the technical and the nitty-gritty bit of actually making it work, but also on the editorial as well, to have somebody who'll maybe prompt a question in my ear that maybe I hadn't thought of, or got great sense of, you know, when to move on to the next subject, to have that extra backup. Oh, it's absolutely invaluable.
He's
strength.
A great guest booker, Paul, isn't he? He's known for, you know, within our teams, having the best contacts
oh my
book ever.
Goodness. One of the first things that he said to me was like, you know, I mean, who would you like to interview? I was like, oh my gosh, Paul, this is amazing. And we've had like Ruth Jones, we've had Amy Dowden, Callum Scott Howells, you know, we've had all these amazing guests already. I've got Brian Adams coming up. I mean, there's nothing that he can't magic up for me.
You mentioned the feature as well. Did you decide to just go in with new features and make massive changes, or is it something you're going to do gradually as the show goes on to get the audience to adjust to you?
I think there was a feeling that we wanted to do something that was new and distinct for the show. And we've got our own little bed now, so it makes the programme feel kind of a little bit different. But I think that's probably going to be it. I think I'm hopefully bringing the difference apart from that little feature. We do want to try and encourage Owen's audience to stay with us. So I do a really nice chatty trail with Owen about sort of 10, 15 minutes before we're on air. And that's always great fun. And I hope that encourages, you know, his listeners to stay on. We've also started flagging up the fact to his listeners that we're going to play a dedication from somebody who's phoned into his show at the top of my show.
Oh, clever.
Do you think? Hopefully that's
like
working.
It.
Oh,
like
stay
it.
With us. So yeah, and that does seem to work really, really well at the top of the show. And I hope, you know, not only does it encourage his listeners, hopefully, to stay with us, but hopefully it'll encourage people to get in touch and realise, you know, we'll do some more dedications if you get in touch. And I think it's so lovely when you do have that connection with audiences, and when you do have people messaging in, it means such a lot that they will actually sort of message a lovely little note to you. It's just wonderful. I love that, and I don't get that in telly. I don't get that direct communication, and it's
no,
such a joy when people,
you
know, say, oh, loving the show, can you give a shout out? I'm just like, yes, I can give a shout out, I would love to. So I'm really loving that kind of closeness that you feel with your audience.
We've seen a real increase in the engagement with the audience, the interaction, the number of text calls coming in since Lucy's taken over. So it's been really, really glad to see it.
That cross-trailing as well, so important, isn't it, for the station
to
be
absolutely.
Joined up?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you want the relationship to begin first thing and continue through the day, and that the stations, that the individual programmes have a kind of synergy, and that the presenters themselves, because I know a lot of our audience see us as one big happy family who live together in this building all the time, you know. And so, you know, we love the banter between our presenters and that kind of crossover. And that's what, you know, even that one little item where Lucy picks up one of the dedications that hasn't made it to Owen's show is a really neat little device, and it does make them stay.
The other thing I've been trying to do as well is to translate some of our content that we have on the radio show into showbiz news stories as well. So after my Callum Scott Howells interview, where he was featured in, he was playing somebody who takes part in the Homeless World Cup, it was the The Beautiful Game with Bill Nighy that's just dropped on Netflix recently. So I could lift clips from his interview and build up a news story around that. And that then ran over the weekend on Wales Today. And it also dropped online and performed, you know, quite well for the BBC News site. So that's brilliant. And so now I'm always almost asking questions that I think will give me a news line as well. I interviewed Gaina Fey recently, who's was in Fat Friends many years ago with Ruth Jones and James Corden. And so we were talking about how maybe without Fat Friends, would there be a Gavin and Stacey? So I've got a nice little news line on that. News Online are delighted with that. So they're going to be taking it. We record our interviews in the radio studio that they're often visualized, so we can get clips that are envisioned that will work for TV as well. So it seems to just be really circular and working really well. What a cast in Fat Friends. Ruth Jones, James Corden, but also Alison Steadman,
yeah.
Sheridan Smith. And I'm thinking, I mean, this is half the cast of Gavin and Stacey. I wonder whether Gavin and Stacey would have happened if it wasn't for your mum, Fat Friends.
Well, maybe, I mean, Ruth and James may have not met.
Ruth was on the show actually a couple of weeks ago, and she said she had no idea that it was dropping on Netflix. She had a call from James Corden saying, "Do you know we're number two on Netflix at the moment?" She had absolutely no idea. Did you know it was going to be on Netflix?
Well, I got the same kind of call.
That's what it's all about now, isn't it, Carolyn? That cross promotion, cross platform thinking all the while. Will this be a line for news? Can we put this online? Can this go on our socials?
Completely. And it's a way of reaching those audiences that we're not. You know, I mean, the BBC Wales or the BBC strategy, value for all, is so important to us. You know, we get paid by the licensed fee payers to do what we do. So we have to ensure that all of them are getting value. In all the content we produce on radio, we're thinking, where else can it live? Everything is visualized. Doesn't mean that everything you hear goes out visually at that point in time, but it means that we can give it another life. Increasingly, the local rail on sound is really important for us, you know, because obviously for me, the Wales and Radio Wales is just absolutely crucial. It's why I want to do the job I do. And that gives us the opportunity of kind of representation within the BBC, you know, the wider BBC ecosystem. And we've got that chance every day. We're thinking, right, what have we done today that's going to make it on the local rail and then reach a digital audience as well? Because there is the kind of traditional heartland audience that has always been with us in linear broadcast. And then there is a digital audience that sometimes doesn't even know what Radio Wales is or radio is. I've got another hat, Georgie. I look after sport here as well. And one of the younger members of staff told me a story last week, which really kind of, you know, again, underlined the challenge we've got. And he said a friend of his was complaining about that he couldn't find a particular match commentary. And he said, well, it's on FM. And his friend said, well, what's FM? There's the other story.
Oh, yeah. I feel old.
I remember being at a podcast conference quite recently where a story was told of an 18-year-old girl saying, oh, I've come across this amazing podcast. You know, it has celebrities and they choose their favourite things and they go to a desert island. I said, yeah, it's been around since the 40s, actually. is looking constantly to how you know, those audiences can talk to each other via our platforms.
We talked about listeners and the connection with listeners. BBC Wales is an English-speaking network. Tell me about your listeners. What do you think that they want from the station?
Welsh identity is key. You know, people love to hear their communities represented. They're part of the world. They're part of Wales. In terms of the demographic, our average age of our listener has just slipped below 60 for the first time in a long time, 59.8, I believe.
But we'll take it.
So, you know, a lot of our focus is on the replenisher audience. You know, how are we getting the 40 and 50 somethings into Radio Wales more consistently? And I talk to the teams a lot about this. I mean, I'm 55, you know, so I consider myself, I should be an absolute Heartland Radio Wales listener. And I do remind them that, you know, people like Brad Pitt are in their 60s now, because I think some of our younger people in radio do have a view of people in their 60s as, you know, kind of fairly ancient beings. It's not the case. And all the data supports that.
The fact that Kylie is older than me is always a source
of
great comfort.
The same age as Kylie. She is my age role model. I see the job I have to do is as well as looking at, you know, what's happening externally, is what happens internally and ensuring that the people working on our programs and our content, you know, have the right perception of our audience as well. And then, and accordingly, they you know, they create the kind of shows that they'll love to listen to. But we do, and you've touched on it, that connection you have in radio. And I do feel we provide a real sense of companionship and community.
How do you go about maintaining that sense of national identity? identity, because there are Welsh-speaking stations as well, aren't there?
And this is something I feel really strongly about. I come from the Rhondda Valleys. I'm a Valley girl, which again has obviously always been a strong part of our audience profile. And I feel very strongly about the distinctiveness of English language Welsh culture, that it is separate to British culture and English culture, that it is a thing of itself, that it's important to reflect and represent that. And what's more challenging in terms of the, you know, the marketplace and the ever-expanding kind of digital world is we're becoming more generic, we're becoming more globalised. And even within our own platforms in BBC, you know, we have to work hard to cut through on BBC Sounds and ensure that Welsh representation is there. But I think if you look, for example, at our podcast offer, we've had some incredible podcasts over the last year. The Crossbow Killer, Death of a Codebreaker, both went over 1 million within record time. Even though they had UK-wide appeal, if not an international appeal, because of the strength of the storytelling. At the heart, these were stories about Welsh people, rooted in Welsh communities. So finding that balance constantly between telling our own story, but making it as widely appealing as possible to reflect the kind of challenge of the digital marketplace is something that, you know, I embrace.
Lucy, tell me about your plans for the show and your radio journey moving forward.
Well, first up is a listening session next week booked in.
Have you got a snoop session?
Is that what they're called? A snoop session, is it? So this is my first thing I've got coming my way. Tell me about snoop session.
Lucy, you're having that with my great colleague, Neil Sloan, and he does these regularly with all our presenters. There's nothing to worry about.
Well, that's good to know.
They're not scared at all.
I'm not being hauled in front of the headmaster.
No.
Listen to this. What were you thinking? So that's next up. But I'm actually really looking forward to that with slight trepidation to what he has to say. We agreed time and then he scheduled an hour. I was thinking, oh, this will be a little 20 minutes. Don't do this, don't do that. A bit more of this, less of that. No, it's an hour of torture. I hate listening to myself anyway, or watching myself back if I'm on TV, even though I know you've got to do it to get better. It's painful.
It's painful, but it is the only way to really learn, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I found it horrendously painful when I started in radio.
Well, it's the only way that you get better, isn't it? And what I want to be able to do as a presenter is deliver what the station wants. So you can't do that just on gut instinct alone. You need steers, you need pointers, and whatever we're doing, we can always get better, we can always improve, and we can always, you know, learn and move forward, can't we?
Caroline, you touched on the comedy offer, but that's part of the new schedule. So there's some specialist music, there's the comedy. Tell me about how risky that is to put that into your schedules, because it's quite a jolt from regular daytime programming.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have a 6:30 slot, Georgie, which is a half hour feature content, essentially. We have different strands on different days. We'll have a science strand, we'll have an art strand, we'll have a comedy strand. And I particularly wanted to develop Kiri's presence in that slot because she's got so many ideas about comedy herself. She's very, very well connected, very well respected in the industry. And like most comedians I've come across, she's very thoughtful about the craft of comedy itself. Some of the programs she's already pitched in the slot really kind of gets under the skin of the serious business of creating laughter, basically.
When I was thinking about all the different parts that you play, and they're very varied and very beloved, Mary on Go, something of Jules on Big Boys, but that to me there's like a thread of Welshness going through them.
Yeah, I love that,
because I think that you do this beautiful thing where you kind of play a characters, there's always this line going through it where they could be seen as being vulnerable or a bit tragic and a bit sort of looked down on by, and then something will happen, there'll be flashes where you realise that character is several steps ahead of everyone else, and I think that is very Welsh.
But in terms of the specialist music shows, we've always had a kind of reputation for presenters who have great ownership of music and reflect particular genres. Hugh Stevens has been one of our staple stars here in Wales for many years. And as you know, he's a regular on Six Music, but still does a Radio Wales show on a Monday. He did an interview about the importance of specialist music programmes. There is, even in this world where AI is taking over, technology is taking over, there are certain things that algorithms will never do. And hearing a great presenter's passion for music, when they introduce you to something that you might never have heard before, or that they remind you of something that has touched you in your life in the past, people who've got that real kind of knowledge, insight, passion for a particular genre, you know, I just think there's nothing like it in terms of music listening. And again, it's been a good area for us to develop some new talent. One of the presenters I've been most excited about, Bronwyn Lewis, who has come to us. She was one of my first signings when I joined. She'd been, or still is, a singer-songwriter. She had a great period through lockdown where she went viral with her Welsh language versions of very famous pop songs. An amazing kind of pan-generational following. People in their 90s love her, kids love her, you know. She's just very, very authentic. So I wanted to give her more of a platform in the new schedule. So she's moved from Sunday morning to a three-hour slot on Sunday lunchtime. But also, she told me about her passion for country music. I knew there was an appetite for it within our own audience through some of the research I'd seen. Also, there's a younger audience coming to country music in the UK that's growing and growing through festivals. So I thought this is something we could tap into.
And look, if Beyoncé's on board, we've all got to get on board now, haven't we?
This is it. We've all got to get on board now.
You know, we've got a great spectrum of musical expertise because we've got Hugh Stevens on a Monday. We've got a new young presenter, Molly Palmer, who's very much kind of has been an apprentice to Hugh's master. He's kind of mentored her through. She's got a great knowledge of the Welsh music scene. She's out living it. And then Alicia Scott on Thursday, who again has a kind of reggae-infused show and just brings something completely different, yet authentically Welsh at the same time. They're all Welsh through and through. And yet they bring a kind of the world of music that's out there to our listeners.
There's been a lot of changes recently in BBC local radio. Where do you see the future for BBC nations and regions?
I suppose in that context, it is important to make the distinction between local radio in England and what we do here, obviously, because we are a nations broadcaster.
Yes,
and there are three stations here now in Wales. There's Radio Cymru Dau as well. And that's been a really interesting development in terms of serving the less fluent Welsh speaker and those families who might have sent their children to Welsh medium school, but don't speak Welsh themselves. So there's a kind of crossover audience that's been catered for there. And, you know, our live listening figures are still strong in terms of representing Wales back to itself. You know, I just see our role as absolutely crucial in terms of what Wales is all about. But we're working hard to deliver for our digital audience at the same time. And that's the biggest challenge for me, I think, is to not almost see those audiences as separate. You know, we're straddling, you know, the digital challenge with the linear. This has all got to come together in one world. And everything we do reaches as many people as possible in the places that they want to listen to us.
Big thank you to Caroline Hitt, head of BBC Wales, and broadcaster and journalist Lucy Owen for being my guests on this week's podcast. I'm desperate to know how Lucy's Snoop session went now. ARIA's tickets are on sale for the big night on the 7th of May at the Drury Lane Theatre in London. Visit our website, radioacademy.org, for more information and to book your tickets. Next week, my guest is former Radio Academy MD, now Deputy Director of BFBS Radio, Sam Bailey, who'll be talking about careers with BFBS and how their near-death podcast has been nominated for two ARIAs. I'll see you next week.